Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We are here back again on this glorious Monday afternoon in Lent. You know, people say glorious Monday afternoon in Lent like that's an oxymoron, but it is. It's a good thing. It's, you know, it's
sure.
I like Lent. And we're here with Simca Fisher today. Simca is, of course, she's a writer, author. She writes for the National Catholic Register, has a blog there. She is the author of The Sinner's Guide to Natural Family Planning, with all kinds of useful advice to people who are trying to understand the whole natural family planning way of life. And She is a mom and a wife, eager human being. She spoke at the World Media Families. She spoke at the World Media Families. She's kind of a big deal, you know.
I am a superstar.
Yeah, so you guys should like listen up you know, she's like spoken at the same place where the Pope spoke, not at the same time, and you know,
no,
like that. It wasn't like she was jamming with him or something, but still, it's
well, I didn't want to compete with him. I didn't want to steal his thunder. That's all.
Well, it's so important.
And
you know.
And I have you know what I have all over my hands right now? It's sort of a leading question.
Asparagus.
No, asparagus. No, that's disgusting, Mark. That's disgusting. I have pasta dough all over my hands because I'm making my own pasta. My mother-in-law ordered something or other, and they accidentally sent her a pasta maker by mistake, and she said, should I send it, you know, she contacted the company and said, should I send it back? And they said, nah, like, nobody wants a pasta maker. Not even the people who make pasta makers want the pasta maker. So now we have a pasta maker, and we're on vacation, and we're making pasta, and it's kind of neat. I don't know if it's going to turn out or not, but
How does one make? I figure it can't be very hard to make pasta because they've been doing it for like before Pompeii was destroyed by Vesuvius, right? I mean,
yeah. So it's, you get super basic. It's flour and eggs.
Okay.
And yeah, water, flour and eggs, somewhere. And a little bit of water and a little bit of salt, and that's it. I actually saw one recipe that it was just flour and eggs, and we tried that recipe, and it made a horrible, horrible mess, and we got just this big brick, and nothing came of that, so we had to start over again. But and yeah, you knead
and then
it a
there's
lot,
like
you make
this
it nice
thing
and elastic.
Where you, and it squishes through some kind of holes and makes different shapes, and then you.
Yeah,
it's like Play-Doh,
like Play-Doh,
right?
Thing.
Except you can eat it.
Exactly like Play-Doh.
Okay, and then...
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
Then,
it comes out the other end. And it's spaghetti.
And then
it's
what
like
do
magic.
You have to do? Do you have to bake it somehow so it becomes all hard? And then later on you boil it? Or?
No, that would be like picking strawberries and then canning them and then eating them. It's just that's a preservative thing. You just, if you want to use them, you just boil them, I think. I hope. Maybe you are supposed to dry them. I don't know.
Well,
you know, I didn't read
mean,
that far ahead, actually. I think
what's
you
the
can
point
just
of boiling
boil
something? Why boil them if they're already limp and noodly?
Because it's not. They're not limp and noodly. They're doughy. It's like it's raw dough. I mean,
doughy.
I like raw dough, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like yeah, it's dough. It's like pie crust, except eggy.
And
well, you know what? If anybody knows any better, they can call in and tell me whether or not I'm supposed to dry them or not, because I actually didn't factor that in, and I was planning to just cook them because I didn't really read ahead in the directions at all. So maybe somebody could call in 573-4-BREAD-4 and tell me whether or not I'm supposed to dry the pasta first or not.
Call in 1-573-4-BREAD-4. We got a call last week from Rob, who may not really know anything about pasta, in which case,
well, you
know, Rob, just keep listening.
Up, I would never know. Yeah, I mean, I would believe anything at this point. I don't.
Well,
I don't
mostly I'm just thinking, if it's like all wet and noodly, and you boil it, won't it just turn back into goo—the goo from whence it came—and no longer have the little bow tie or elbow macaroni or wiggly squiggly shape that you gave it?
Is this why you like Lent? Because you see the dark side of everything and like to revel in pessimism? Is this
no, it's not pessimism. It's just this is not pessimism.
Like,
this is
but
curiosity.
Isn't it just gonna turn back into goo? I mean, if you try to cook it, don't you think it'll all be for nothing? Doesn't that seem likely? Like, thanks a lot.
I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, Lenten macaroni spirituality. I mean, pasta spirituality. Goo you were, and to goo you shall return. Repent and believe the gospel. That's, you know. So, pasta starts out as just goo, and then you squish it and shape it until it stops being goo and starts being elbow macaroni, or my favorite, those little bow tie jobbies, you know, letters like in
ravioli.
Alphabet soup, or ravioli. You know, we're talking about an infinitely malleable food. I mean, someone somewhere along the line had the great idea of saying, you know, this stuff that we could just be like, I don't know, just sprinkling on top of our food. We could, like, invent a kind of a press thing that you squish it through like Play-Doh, and then it comes out looking like a bow tie, once we've invented bow ties.
I think they look like butterflies. They look like butterflies. Farfalla, right? Isn't that butterfly? Or does that mean bow tie? I don't know.
It could be. It could well be. You're more of a foodie than I am. I know how to boil water, and... that's kind of it.
Do you know, Mark, I only recently found out that different kinds of pasta are intended for different kinds of sauce or different kinds of, like, and now that I know it seems obvious, because, like, they have, you know, like, if you've got a thin sauce, or if you've got a, like, a gooey sauce, or if you've got a chunky sauce, you want to have, like, different vehicles which are good accompaniments for those various kinds of sauces or various kinds of, you know, whatever the other thing is that you're serving besides noodles. So you're not supposed to just, like, when I would go to the supermarket, I would just pick something, and then I would have another kind of sauce, and then I would just put them together. And apparently, that's not cool. You're not supposed to do that at all.
But it's all the same stuff, though, right? I mean, it's just pasta.
Right. But it's a matter of the shape of it. It's the shape of it and the texture of it.
Shape so, like, makes it taste different?
Well, Mark... did you know? Never mind. Well, set aside farfalla for a minute. They were doing experiments that show that if you eat off of silver, what was it? If you have silver spoons versus stainless steel spoons or something like that, like the quality of the silverware that you eat off of has a subtle effect on the taste of food. Like, everything is connected, man, is what I'm trying to say. It's like it's all connected.
Wow.
You know, why do they call them fingers if they don't fing?
have you ever thought that maybe, like, we're, like, inside of this giant, like, marble or something?
Oh, Mark, have you seen that Twitter feed, the Bernie Thoughts, Bernie Sanders Thoughts? Was it called Bernie Thoughts or is it Bernie Sanders Thoughts? It's a satirical Twitter feed that's Bernie Sanders, but I mean, it's not actually Bernie Sanders.
Not actually Bernie Sanders.
And it's all, hold on a second, I'm looking it up. It kills me.
Okay.
It's Twitter at Bernie Thoughts.
Okay.
And they're all in capital letters. And...
things are always better when they're in capital letters. Somebody sent me a thing this week that said, if one person in America is shot every 15 seconds, how is that person still alive? Somebody else said, it's because he's married to that woman that gives birth every 8 seconds. So, well, we're having deep thoughts here. If you want to join our conversation and contribute your deep thoughts, give us a call. We're at 1-573-4BREAD-4 here on Connecting the Dots. 1-573-4BREAD-4. You can also tweet us at Breadbox Media. Feel free to jump into the middle of this conversation that will very soon, I'm sure, have something to do with life, the universe, and everything viewed from a Catholic perspective. But have you found the Bernie Thoughts website yet?
I did, yes. And it's things like the one that killed me the most. I keep on coming back to this. It says, imagine a banana turned inside out. Terrible. It's just... You have to imagine it in Bernie Sanders' voice, and then
that's the thing is, I can
you can hear it
in his voice.
He does a lot. He writes a lot about terrible. He writes a lot about dogs and cats and various kinds of fruit and soup and things. Hold on a second, I lost it. I'm learning. It's the internet has become so instructional, but not necessarily in the way that you would expect.
Not informative, but instructional. You're listening to Connecting the Dots here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Simca Fisher. And we will be back in just a jiffy to talk about life, the universe, and everything from a Catholic perspective.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today with Simca Fisher. Simca has just introduced me to the wonders of Bernie Thoughts, which just delights me no end. Bernie Thoughts is a new Twitter feed that somebody came up with that's supposedly the random thoughts of Bernie Sanders on life, the universe, and everything. And some of these things are just absolutely hilarious. So, we don't need llamas and alpacas.
Here's one. This one was actually tweeted during the debate. It says, backstage, better have rice pudding.
So, yeah. Well, that's
truly a wonderful century.
You put a thing on your Facebook page of things that you didn't, asking people to suggest stuff that you don't want to talk about.
This is the second week running where I'm thinking about, well, let's see what's in the news. Oh no! Like, I just don't.
More horrible things.
Trump, I feel so
Trump
bad.
Wins South Carolina. That's bad. Well, I started a poll yesterday.
Yeah.
Figuring we're at least a few weeks out from this. I started a poll yesterday asking people to give me their guesses on the first time we were going to be told that we have to vote for Trump or the babies will die and God will judge us.
Oh my gosh.
And
because clearly he's the most pro-life person in the world. I mean, he's
yeah.
See the tenderness in his heart.
Hey, if you can fix sincerity. But, you know, I thought, okay, well, we're a couple of weeks out from the vote Trump or the baby gets it stuff starting. And today, already, Deal Hudson wrote an article basically saying vote for Trump or the baby gets it. I thought, I just started the pool. It's not fair. You know? And somebody else put up an article. Really, technically, the winner has to fulfill both criteria. You have to both say vote Trump or the baby gets it, and also vote Trump or God will be mad at you.
Yeah.
To really fulfill the pool.
Oh.
I've gotten two separate. I got the vote Trump or the baby gets it thing from D.L. Hudson.
Yeah.
And then some other blogger put up a thing today saying that Donald Trump is God's candidate. You know, and his anointed
one
and stuff. So maybe the pool will still stand. But it was kind of disappointing that we got it so fast. I know.
That's not sporting at all.
Yeah, I wanted to at least wait until, you know, Super Tuesday before we really start getting the you must vote for Donald Trump or God will be mad at you stuff.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
But we don't want to talk about that.
Instead, I thought, you know, I put a jesting thing up on your Facebook page today. So the Pope came out this past weekend and said, let's have a moratorium on the death penalty in honor of the Year of Mercy. Because, you know, mercy, right? And among other, one merciful gesture is not killing you. Even if you've got it coming, you know, that's kind of mercy is about. So that just seems like common sense to me is, yeah, let's not kill people. And so then I immediately heard from everybody in the world. Whenever this comes up, you always get people say, well, you know, the church allows for the death penalty under certain circumstances. And let's not do anything rash, like not kill people.
Why'd you put it that way?
We need to, you know, just be sure and make sure that it's still possible to kill people. We don't want to not do that because that would be rash. And which always strikes me as weird for a couple of reasons. One is saying that theoretically it's fine to kill people under certain circumstances is true. But it's like saying theoretically under certain circumstances it's fine to eat people, which is also true. But it's
do we want to
enshrine that in law? You know. let's not do anything rash.
A whole year without doing it. No, we can't.
You know, it's not illegal to cannibalism is not illegal. And what if somebody wants to open a restaurant? You know, as long as they, you know, properly sourced, fair trade, you know, meat from reliable dealers.
Yeah, no.
You know,
and
why do we want to close that door? You know.
Yeah. In this country, in this century, the necessity of executing, the state executing somebody is about as common as the necessity of eating somebody to stay alive. I mean, we really are. It is a good comparison because it's something that we ought to do with great reluctance when there's no other possible recourse that we have.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah,
that's not true about the death penalty in this country. I mean, we're not in the middle of a civil war where we only have like a rickety cage to keep dangerous revolutionaries in. That's not the situation that we have.
Right. Yeah, and so, you know, it's one of those things that it always amazes me that people like spend so much time making sure that we don't do something rash like not killing people. It's just an odd thing for me to hear, you know, but it always happens whenever the Pope proposes something like this.
I think I'm gonna play devil's advocate for a minute. I think part of the reason, and I have some sympathy for this, part of the reason that people react that way, and it's not necessarily a rational thing, it's not necessarily because they are so gung-ho and so much in favor of the death penalty, as it is the timing of it, because it feels like it is not the most pressing issue of our time. And I realize that in some states it really is a pressing issue. I mean, mm-hmm. in my state, like, we haven't executed anybody forever, so if anybody, you know, if there's this one guy that's been on death row and he's been, there have been lawsuits back and forth for the last decade or so, and this mm-hmm. is, you know, but in, you know, if we're living in Texas or something, it might be a different matter. But anyway, I understand that there is so much turmoil going on in the church and so much turmoil going on in the country that for the Pope to say, you know, this is the big deal, this is the thing that I'm going to make a really clear statement about, mm-hmm. it's annoying. It is annoying. I'm going to go right ahead out and say it. It's annoying, you know,
okay.
because it shows that he has the capacity to be very clear when he wants to be. And it mm-hmm. kind of makes you wonder why he is unclear at other times. And what's that about? And I don't know what it's about. And I'm trying not to leap to any conclusions. I'm okay. not thrilled with the way the last week has gone and news coming out of the Vatican, news coming out of that, you know, Pope's on a plane stuff. I'm not thrilled. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I think that as somebody who doesn't get involved in these conversations but who observes them, I see that a lot of the time the agita around it is not necessarily specifically about the death penalty itself, but about what the emphasis on it seems to signify about other things. And I sympathize with that. So there we go. I'm putting a damper on your
Okay. Well, I'm gonna give you Shayna, I'm going to offer my counterpoint now. I would agree that it's not the most important thing out there. And mm-hmm. so my reply is, since it's really not all that important and is in fact a common sense teaching of the church and has been since Evangelium Vitae came out in 1995, why are we spending any energy at all fighting it? Why not just say, yeah, that makes sense?
Yeah.
All it does is it just, you know, it takes us off a list that includes such enlightened regimes as Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, Yemen, the People's Republic of China, you know. It says, yeah, this is, you know, it's foolish. Let's not do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think if Catholics just went, yeah, okay,
yeah,
that would be kind of it, you know. Then we could move on to the other more important issues. What always amazes me is the amount of time and energy that's spent fighting the church on this very common sense.
Teaching. No, yeah, it is definitely a lot. I mean, I can certainly see the other side of it. And it really is true that there are a lot of people who are, rather than, you know, reluctantly acceding to the fact that occasionally this thing might be regretfully necessary, so much as they're looking for opportunities to lawfully do it. And that's
not for life.
I agree with you. There's a huge...
But it's hugely popular in one country, ours. And that's why it's still a big issue, and it's so popular in this country. I mean, even the Democratic front runner is like, I mean, Hillary Clinton's all in favor of the death penalty. Her husband made sure that he like rushed home to make sure that this mentally disabled guy, who was so mentally disabled that he went to the electric chair but left his dinner behind for him to come back and finish later.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure that he was, you know, yes, I'm all in favor of this human sacrifice.
Yeah.
So that's why it's an issue. It's an issue because the most powerful country in the world still loves it.
Yeah.
And anyway, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we will be back with Simca Fisher right after this.
Brightbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
And welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here on Redbox Media talking with Simca Fisher about life, the universe, and everything. If you want to join us, give us a call at 1-573-4BREAD-4, 1-573-4BREAD-4. You can, you know, call in, explain to Simca the wonders of asparagus or... What? Asparagus.
Family show, Mark. I can't believe you
said that. It's a food. It's, you know, asparagus grows wild out here in eastern Washington. You could just stop on the side of the road and just harvest asparagus. Oh, yeah, because lots of volcanic soil out in eastern Washington because of our exploding volcanoes that periodically bury eastern Washington. So, yeah, there's still like giant heaps of volcanic ash that, you know, that are out there along the roadside, you know, from Mount St. Helens blowing up 30 years ago. And so asparagus loves that. And so you can just go out there and harvest your asparagus. I like asparagus, actually, with some butter.
I love asparagus. When I was in high school in my German class, we went to, have I told this story already? Have I told my German asparagus story on the radio already?
It's not even a very good
story.
I think.
You think so? It's not a very good story, but it's a little story. So we get, I think we had gone into Heidelberg, I think. Which is a nice town, a very, very nice town. And they had this, and there was this very fancy hotel, very, very ornate, you know, as only a Heidelberg hotel can be, extremely ornate, you know, little clocks and little projections everywhere. And they had hung this tremendous banner that's like as long as like a city block across it. And it said, Der Spargel ist angekommen. And we're looking at it, and we're looking at the, at our teacher, because we didn't know what Spargel meant, and he says it means the asparagus has arrived. it was a really big deal. Everybody was waiting for the asparagus to arrive.
The new phone books are here.
just everybody. Exactly.
Now things are gonna start happening.
So every once in a while I think, well, the Spargel is on good moment. Could be things are looking up.
That is, you know.
It is nice to see asparagus, you know, because it comes in the very early springtime, so it's one of those. It hasn't been such a bad winter here. It hasn't really been that terrible. Some winters when it's rough, you know, you'll take what you can get, even if it's just asparagus at the supermarket.
Asparagus.
Well, I'll take it.
We'll need something to live for.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good.
I like asparagus. So,
you know, one of your readers wrote, this has been like a month and a half of just death. Every time I turn around, someone else has died.
January
was like it was just like the march of the rock stars into their graves in January. And then, well, it was. I mean, gee whiz.
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's right. And authors, right? And then, of course, what's his name? Scalia, of course.
Scalia and, died last week. So, yeah. So
yeah, Harper Lee and Umberto Eco and David Bowie, of course. And who else? A couple other rock stars. I forget, too. Yeah, a couple people I hadn't heard of, which made me feel bad.
It was several like Jefferson Airplane people seemed to just like
their time had run out.
Once. And so they had the funeral for Scalia on Glenn Frey from the Eagles. That made me feel really old.
Aww.
And they had Scalia's funeral this past weekend, and his son preached the homily, and I thought was great. It was all about, you know, we're here to celebrate the life of a man who was loved by some, hated by others, and life surrounded by controversy, et cetera. I speak, of course, he says, of Jesus of Nazareth, which I thought was just zing. That was good.
I want a zinger at my funeral, Matt.
That was awesome. So anyway, one of your readers writes in and says, how about talking about funeral planning regarding Scalia's amazing funeral without eagle's wings type meat back? I mean, surely funeral planning is what people want to listen to, right? She says,
probably.
Well, you know, actually, I should get onto this show sometime. A friend of mine named Marcus Daly. If you go out on the web, all of you listeners, go out there and do this. You can find a Vimeo pick of the day video.
Yes.
Called The Coffin Maker.
Ah.
And it's about my good friend, Mr. Marcus Daly, who lives on Vashon Island out here in Puget Sound. And that's what he does. He's a coffin maker. And he's, among other things, and he I'm not sure if it's out yet or what, but he's in the process of writing a book simply talking about the Catholic view of death. Mm-hmm. Because... and including things like, you know, how to do a funeral and what a Catholic funeral is supposed to look like and, you know, do's and don'ts and those kinds of things. Because, you know, it's one of the things that I don't spend a lot of time wanting to think about.
Yeah.
'Cause who wants to think about planning a funeral, you know? And which is one of the reasons that we have funeral directors is because nobody wants to think about planning a funeral till suddenly someone shows up at your door and says, your son is dead.
Right, right, right.
And then you, and then you're too numb and how can you possibly plan a funeral?
Right. And there's plenty of people who take advantage of it, too. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, I'm trying to upgrade you and trying to sell you the, you know, you've seen, you must have seen or read The Loved One, Evelyn Waugh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I got to watch that again. What an amazing...
Oh, what a great movie. You know, when it came out, it was advertised as something to offend the whole family. It is so funny. Oh, yes. What a great movie. Man.
The movie is different from the book, but I don't think it's worse than the book. It definitely changed it, but it's a it definitely did it justice in its,
right,
its own way. It has Liberace in it, and the creepiest. I mean, Liberace was always creepy, but he was really working it this time. It was amazing.
And Rod Steiger was in it too.
Oh yeah. Know? Oh, we got to see that again. I wonder if my kids would be into that. So maybe. time to frighten the children again. Warp the kid. We call it Warp the Kid.
Warp the Kid.
Time to play another round.
So, yeah. So, you know what? Now I'm inspired. I think I'm going to try and get a hold of Marcus and have him as a guest on the show sometime.
People would love that. And you know what it is? It's a work of mercy for your children or your family is what it is. So that they won't. My parents went ahead and my parents had coffins made for them by a local carpenter, and they keep them in the guest room. And if you like, you may sleep in the coffins in my parents' guest room.
Really?
Well, there's not a lot of room in there. And
wow.
You know, so
yes, you'll be staying in the Memento Mori room. That is, you know, so I'd love to meet your parents sometimes. They they must be fascinating people.
They're very, very interesting people.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Well, anyway, I don't have any answers myself, but one of these times I will get Marcus Daly on the show and he can answer that particular question. I missed Scalia's funeral because I was busy doing life, but I understand it was very well done. Lots of people were upset. I thought it was kind of tacky that Obama didn't show for it, but my opinion and $5 will get you a cup of coffee. But let's see. A priest wrote in and said, you know, on Gaudete Sunday in Advent, you can focus on the rose candle. What do you do for Laetare Sunday, which is sort of the Lenten version of Gaudete Sunday? It's the it's kind of the Sunday where you get reminded that, oh, yeah, this is not supposed to be about gloom and doom. This is about getting ready for Easter. Do you have anything that you special that you do on Latara Sunday?
No, we are such wimps that we honestly, I mean, I didn't even know there. First of all, I didn't know there was, or I had at least forgotten that there was such a thing. And we just say we give ourselves such a break every Sunday as it is anyway, not to mention the other days. Like, I don't even want to tell you what I'm doing for Lent this year. It's so lame. I don't even know how to do Lent anymore because I keep on being either pregnant or giving birth or doing something so awful during Lent anyway that I'm just like not gonna do anything else at the same time, or I'm just gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna try to stop crying for a few minutes and that's gonna be my Lenten sacrifice, you know. But so this year, like, I'm fine and I'm healthy and everything, and I'm like I don't know how to do this. I'm not familiar with this at all, so the short answer is I don't know, I guess. How about you?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a priest. Why is he asking us? He's supposed to know these things.
I think it was just trying to, you know, leave things open for discussion.
I know. He's been helpful.
But I see that your piece over at the Register today is taking off. You might want to discuss that a little bit.
My piece at the Register.
Women are going nuts about your piece.
Oh no, on Alitea, the breast.
Oh, on Alitea. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. There was a post went up earlier today, a couple of hours ago, that was positing the idea that since you can do some scientific studies that show that breast milk is superior in several ways for babies that over formula, therefore we have a moral obligation to breastfeed our babies. And I said, no, we don't. We're running out of time. I hear the music.
Well, you're in luck. Well, maybe we talk about it when we come back. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we're here with Simca Fisher, Quarter of Controversy. And we'll be back on Connecting the Dots right after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Simca Fisher. And golly, we've been just kind of all over the map today, talking about everything from asparagus to,
I think we kind of ended up on
other things. We kind of ended up on asparagus to, not sarsaparilla, but pasta. Okay. So anyway.
What is sarsaparilla? Is it a plant?
I think it's a kind of a root or something, and they make...
Okay. Oh, sort of something. Like you have ginger ale, and then you have sarsaparilla soda or something, right? Because it's a root. That makes sense. I can live with that. I am willing to believe that.
All I know is that sissies in Westerns order at the bar. That's the... If you're a sissy, you order sarsaparilla in a Western. That's what everybody knows. So, as far as I know, I've never had it. Now it makes me wonder if somehow sarsaparilla has something to do with root beer.
What kind of root is it?
I just don't even know. It's a sissy drink.
Did you ever have celery soda?
What? No.
You've never had celery soda? You know what it tastes like?
Celery?
Yes.
It's like America, but South. Okay.
All right. Well,
it's terrible. I was not expecting you to say that, but that's really great.
It's true.
Okay. Well, now I know.
Yep.
And I'm feeling enlightened and good. So before we went to break, you wrote a piece today, which is getting lots of really gushy gratitude.
Oh,
a lot of your readers.
The piece that I was responding to was called "The Myth of Optional Breastfeeding and Why You Might Not Be Breastfeeding Long Enough," and it was a post that was largely quoting another post and had a lot of links to, you know, oh, you have to go ahead and read the rest of this. And it was a very snarky, very pushy, bullying, nasty post that was saying that all the science points to the fact that breastfeeding is obviously, always the best for every single baby. And since we know this, it's morally wrong not to breastfeed your baby. If you want to be a good mother, you have to breastfeed your baby. If you care about your baby, breastfeed your baby. If you love your baby, breastfeed your baby. And if you don't breastfeed your baby, you must not love your baby. You must not care about your baby. You must
Man.
That is
my mom could not breastfeed me when I was a baby because her milk just didn't come in. She didn't have any milk. If she tried to breastfeed me, I would have starved.
Right. I mean, I had a baby who was born at 36 weeks, which is just barely before the cutoff of considered premature. And she was a little baby, and she wasn't supposed to be born yet. And every time she started to nurse, she would fall asleep because she wasn't supposed to be in the world yet. She was supposed to be still sleeping inside me. And every time she tried to nurse, she would fall asleep. And you know, the way that it goes is the more the baby nurses, the more milk your body makes. So she wasn't nursing enough, and I was making less milk. And it was a vicious cycle. And the less she would nurse, the less milk there was. And less milk there was, the less she could nurse, and so on. And she was losing weight and losing weight. And I was, it was really, really, really difficult. And at the time, what I decided was the right thing to do was to push forward and to continue working with the, you know, luckily I had lactation consultants that I could work with, and I had, you know, the support of my husband, and we were homeschooling at the time, and we were able to do it and everything. But it was extremely hard and extremely emotionally draining. And at the time, I had several children already, and I was already pretty confident in the idea that the main thing is to take care of your children however you can, in whatever way makes sense for you, because you as the parent are the expert in your child, and you as the person are the expert in your life and your circumstances, and nobody else is. Yep. You are uniquely qualified to make these prudential decisions about what makes the most sense. But if I had been a new mother, or if I had been less confident, or if I had had less support, it would have been very easy for somebody to come along and start bullying me and telling me that, you know, I wasn't being a good enough mother, or that I wasn't, you know. And ultimately I did end up breastfeeding her, and I was able to do it, and it was something that was important to me, and I was able to do it. But if the circumstances had been slightly different and I had ended up feeding her with formula, if I had read this article, I would have felt like killing myself, because you're extremely vulnerable. It's hard to overstate how vulnerable you are when you've just had a baby. You know, you're exhausted, your hormones are all over the place. If it's your first baby, your world has probably just been turned upside down. You know, every single...
Well, it sounds like we've lost Simca. So I'm sure she'll be back in just a jiffy. But obviously, this is not an issue I can really speak to with great authority. But can say that I think that women, you know, who are caring for their children are heroic. And we don't need to add to their burden making demands on them that the church herself doesn't make. So you know, don't add to the burden. Well, let's see, in other things that are going on. Oh, and it sounds like we've got Simca back now.
Here I am.
Hello, Simca.
Hello. So you're explaining all about breastfeeding to everybody, Mark?
Yeah, because I'm really in this party on this.
Sorry to leave you like that.
That's all right. You know, no, I was just saying, I think that women who are nursing are heroic and don't need more burdens added to them than the church puts on them. And the church has no such demand that you must breastfeed or you are an immoral person.
Of course not. The church tells us that children are a gift from God and we have a serious moral obligation to take care of them. And a lot of the specifics are left up to us. And that's not because the church hasn't gotten around to saying it or because the church is shy about saying breastfeeding or the church just doesn't have the science at its fingertips. It's because the church understands that there is a lot of variety in people's lives and that, you know, we weren't made with a cookie press. We weren't made with a pasta machine, shall we say. You know, we're all different, different circumstances. We have, and we have obligations to people besides the baby in front of us also. I mean, for some people, it would take a supreme sacrifice to be able to overcome the difficulties that there might be in breastfeeding a baby, and that might mean you're taking away time and energy that rightfully belong to some of your other children or to some other obligation in your life. So these things are very, whenever we try and reduce these things to very simple obligations, which the church does not specify, it's always a bad idea, and it always means, I mean, it's the very...
And we've lost Simca again. But that's okay, you know, because those things happen, technology and all of that. I just wanted to, you know, mention as well that this is something that is kind of a constant in the life of the church. Somebody will have something that's very... Oh, and I think we got Simca back now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to say it's exactly what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the Pharisees tying up heavy burdens for other people. It's not, you know, life is burdensome enough without adding extra things, you know. Just because something is the right choice for me, it does not mean it's the right choice for you. And life is full of things like that. Full of things like that.
Yeah.
You know? Same with homeschooling versus public school versus Catholic school. We're obligated to take these things seriously and to do the best we can, but your choice, the right choice for you, looks different from the right choice for me. And there's a reason why the church doesn't get specific about these things.
Yeah. This is all
lots
Romans
of things like that.
Romans 14 stuff is what this is. Romans 14 is kind of Paul's summary of his approach to people who have different forms of piety toward God. You know, and something that, you know, you feel is an obligation of conscience before God and may very well be an obligation of conscience before God for you, there are some things that are an obligation of conscience before God for all of us because the church says we're all supposed to do this. But there are lots of things where people have their own thing that that they do to honor God, and it's very easy for them to try to universalize that.
Yeah,
And it can be all kinds of things. So, you know, in Paul's day, it was eating meat or not eating meat was like the big thing, but you know, we've done this all down through the ages, and so you'll get that kind of thing where somebody will say, well, I breastfeed my baby. And if you're not doing that, you're not just disagreeing with me. You are disagreeing with God.
It's right.
Like, no, I'm just disagreeing with you. And so we can do that kind of thing. You know, we do that to each other. And so, you know, part of becoming a mature Christian, of course, is among other things as well, gaining the freedom from the tradition of the church. You know, the church is a huge guide here. You know, when the church says, yeah, no, we don't, this is not a thing that you have to bind yourself to, that could be very freeing. You know, when you're able to just look at the church and say, does the church tell me I have to do this? No, it doesn't. Okay, then I'm not going to worry about this. This is just your thing that you care about, and that's fine, but I don't have to do this. All right, well, Simca Fisher, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. You've been listening to Connecting the Dots. Our producer was Ethan Bolin. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and I will be back tomorrow with Tom McDonald. Until then, have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.